everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men.
And this is Mike Zabcik from The Same, and you're listening to...
Rebel Radio. And you can find that on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
You're a Jedi?
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
Atomic batteries to power.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Welcome. It's a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is your host, Mark, in our brandly new setup studio. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But with me, as usual, are my Wolverine and Cyclops. We have...
Frank T. Biscuit.
As Wolverine, and I guess I'm Cyclops. Because there's something wrong with one of my eyes. So I'll take Cyclops. Matt the Electric Monkey.
All right. Well, welcome, guys. It's been a few weeks, man. We've been, like, busy, I guess.
Yeah, it's
I mean, not busy. Really me and Frank. It's mostly you.
It's mainly me. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just, you know, old ball and chain got you. You know, we're glad she let you out of the house today, you know.
Yeah. And, I had to run out of there. I was like, look, a distraction, and I just took off.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, there's someone calling me the whole time up here. I don't know who it was.
Oh, yeah, probably. But so we're excited. We got some new equipment.
New equipment,
so
yes.
We hope we sound better.
We're breaking it in.
Frank's going to completely ruin it with his voice thing he's doing over here.
I'll sit across the room.
But, yeah. You know, trying to sound like a leprechaun or something.
A leprechaun.
And,
you know what a leprechaun sounds like?
Yeah.
I thought once you, like, caught a leprechaun, you got their gold. And
hey, man, when you smoke shit, you hear things. Okay. All right, that was years ago. Mom, you don't listen anyway.
If I could, it would still be today.
But So we got some new equipment. We're excited about it because we want to continue to make Rebel Radio the best it can be. And don't forget, you can find the Rebel Radio podcast, all the episodes you might have missed at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. So it's a good time of the year. We got through Star Wars. I finally saw Deadpool. Frank went with me a couple weeks ago. We're not going to really get into it. I think everything that's needed to been said about Deadpool has been said.
Well, it is the one-month anniversary.
Now, I mean,
today.
I'll just say this real quick. I'll keep it brief. I enjoyed it. I wasn't as high on it as everybody else. I wouldn't even put it in top 10 comic movies like all these fanboys are. Oh, my God, it's the top 10 ever. Not even close. It's decent. It's fun. I like the end jokes more than I did the sex jokes. Like, I thought it was pretty funny when he goes to the mansion. Why come there's only two of y'all? There's like, no, the studio couldn't afford more X-Men. Those kind of jokes I thought were funny.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds was great in the part. It was fun, you know, and I'm excited to see a sequel. I've always, since they started making X-Men films, I wanted to see Cable in a film, so hopefully we get it. And so that's my brief thoughts on Deadpool. But we are 2 weeks away from Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice. So we're going to bring y'all a couple of shows leading up to the big movie. This is our Batman show. It's the Batman v. show. And then the next show we're going to bring you next week will be the v. Superman show. So we're going to talk Batman and some of his history in media and film and talk about his movies. And we're going to do the same with Superman next week as we prepare for the ultimate throwdown of two of the biggest superheroes of all time and how they will battle it out and form the Justice League is what we're assuming is going to happen or get close to it in this Dawn of Justice film. Did y'all go? I didn't even buy tickets yet. Did y'all?
I was going to
this week. Yeah, that's my plan.
Yeah, save here. I was going to go yesterday and then just kind of like got home and was like, I'll just go to sleep.
I'll just buy them online, you know, and, but yeah, so Batman v. Superman, I'm really excited about this. People that know me know I love Batman. He's one of my favorite superheroes. I have a Batman logo tattoo on me. And I'm a huge fan of the Nolan films. So we're going to start back a little bit earlier. We're going to start back all the way back in 1966. And Matt, you're a little younger, so maybe your first exposure to Batman was not that. But for me and Frank, that was very much some of our first exposure to Batman. We were familiar who Batman was through Super Friends and cartoons and stuff like that.
Mostly through the cartoons.
Through Super Friends. But our first live action was Batman 1966, of course, with Adam West and Burt Ward. And Cesar Romero as the Joker, who was awesome.
Right.
And, of course, they had a film for that in theaters, and it was kind of campy. It's where the campiness of Batman came from. And Adam West with this... tight costume where you can always see his bulge going on. You're like, oh,
you know,
I don't want to bring up my subject after you mentioned Bulge. But that was kind of like the fun Batman. Yeah. You know, it wasn't too serious. It was just campy and fun, and even the bad guys were kind of like hokey.
And Bruce Wayne was like sort of like half James Bond. He's always hit when he's Bruce Wayne. He's always hitting on the women.
Yeah,
yeah. You know?
He's like, I'm Bruce Wayne.
He's always at the bar.
Yeah,
Wayne. Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne.
And for a lot of people our age, I mean Frank's age, that 1966 Batman was our first live action Batman that we were exposed to growing up. And of course, as you mentioned, Super Friends was a big thing. It was on every day. You know, it was always the same plot: Lex Luthor and the Legion of Doom trying to destroy the world.
Big helmet coming out
and,
of the swamp.
Batman and the Super Friends had to stop him. It's very simple.
And I like the fact that maybe like the Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman things were like two adults, so they had to give us the Wonder Twins.
Right. But for you, Frank, that's some of your first exposure to Batman too, huh?
Yeah. You know, a few years back, I picked up the serials from the 40s and
all that. Oh, yes, the black and white ones.
Now, those are some.
Batman used guns and it drove like a regular car.
Yes, that was the costume. Whoa, you thought Adam West's costume was a little different. Those were like way different. It was like, here's a mask. Let's sew some ears on it and call it good.
Yeah, those were exciting too. Matt, for you, you're a little bit younger because you were like born in 1998 86. Or something like that.
86.
So what... You're probably even too young for 89 Batman to be your first exposure. What was your first real exposure to Batman?
My first exposure, I did get to see the 66 series on TV because they had...
Well, it was in reruns at that point, yeah.
Yeah, there was a show called Boomerang that Cartoon Network ran. So I got to watch...
Boomerang's still on, by the way.
Yeah.
But not the Batman.
I got to watch Super Friends. I watched all that because I would watch Cartoon Network all day, and that was on all the time. And then that was the first movie I watched, the Batman 66. With the, you know, the helicopter and the water.
Shark. And
yes. The pow, you know, zing, pop. Holy testicles, Batman. And, you know, that was really fun. And, you know, then whenever I got older and I was, you know, like maybe like 10 or 11, I got to see, you know, the 89 Batman. Right. Whenever I was finally like, I was like 85 or 95.
Right. We're definitely going to delve into the 90s Batman films here in a minute. And, but for me, my biggest memories in 66 Batman is just the colorfulness of it, the silliness of it. The costumes are real bright and vibrant. And what's amazing about it is when you watch it, the actors try really hard to make it good. You know, Cesar Romero's really into playing the Joker.
One of the best actors in there.
Burgess Meredith as the Penguin, he's like really into the role. You know?
Speaking about the Penguin and him,
yeah,
people always debate who was the best Joker. By far, he's the best Penguin.
Burgess Meredith was excellent.
He is the Penguin. They'll be hard-fished to find somebody that will play that role better than him.
Yeah, it's like even today when I watch Rocky, I'm thinking he's going to bust out into the Penguin. You know, Mickey's just going to go... No, I'm just kidding. We're Rocky 40th anniversary, just a little teaser. We will be doing a Rocky show later this year.
Definitely.
You know, as it reaches 40 years old. Man, we're old, Frank. 40 years of Rocky. Wow.
Yeah. I bought Creed. And it's,
okay, let's get back on set. Okay,
we started going off the road a little bit.
So... And as a Batman fan, people have asked me, when did you become a Batman fan? And through watching Super Friends and Batman 66, I was a fan of Batman, but I was still a little young when The Dark Knight Returns came out in comic books and changed everything as we know that and The Killing Joke. I was a little young for both of them. I wasn't familiar with... My exposure to comic books in the mid to late 80s was grocery store comics.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have comic book stores everywhere. I don't remember going to the comic store until I got in high school. And so I had no exposure to The Dark Knight Returns. I didn't know what it was. So I think what turned me into a Batman fan really was Tim Burton's 1989 Batman film.
Me too.
So we're going to talk about that for a minute. I remember being really excited. I remember my dad being very excited for it. And it's like I remember standing in line. I remember being like the first movie I was old enough to remember standing in line to go see. And the lines were around blocks at theaters because back then you had... Like, if you lived in Spring Branch here in Houston, where I did, you had one theater. It was AMC 10 up on I-10 the Beltway. There wasn't five or six theaters. We didn't have Tinseltown and the drive-in theater out there, the Cinemark at Cypress Rose Hill, Alamo Drive. We didn't have all that. You had one theater in the neighborhood, so if it sold out, you were waiting to go see a showing the next day. Yeah. You know, you didn't have the options you have now.
I was excited because my cousin was a friend of somebody that worked for a theater, so we actually got to see it the Tuesday before it come out. For free.
Oh, you just had to one-up us, huh?
I couldn't shut up. I went to school the next day. I just could not shut up about getting to see Batman and how fun it was and cool, because the Superman movies had came out, but I was still a little too young for those. Mm-hmm. So it had been, to me, a gap of a good quality superhero, or not superhero, but a hero-type character on the big screen. And to see Batman with his costume and then all these big characters on the screen, it was like really impacting to me. And I almost credit it for kicking the whole new era of bringing the superheroes and heroes to the big screen.
In a sense, I think we'll talk about that in a minute. I agree. The opening scene of Batman, where you first see his costume, you're like, wow, that is really cool. Yes. It brings you right in right away. And it was the moment where I realized, wow, Batman might be the coolest freaking superhero I've ever seen. And I was probably 13 when Batman came out, so I was young and very impressionable at that time. And I don't know if it brought in the modern era of superhero films. I think at the time it brought a superhero film we hadn't seen before, and I think it created an era in the late 80s to 90s where you had a new kind of film. But I think I still have to give credit to the modern superhero film being Spider-Man and X-Men when those two came out in 2000, 2001.
No, I mean, like, yeah, showing, you know, the studios that a hero film could make money for their studio. So then they made more Batman
and they
films.
Were still leery about it, because that's like, Batman's all we got, you know. They right. were still, remember, that's at the same time James Cameron was trying to maybe make a Spider-Man film and it never happened. Mm-hmm. You know, Marvel was like, wow, DC has a Batman film, we need to do something. And they made the really bad Captain America movie, you know, and stuff. But you, I think you own on DVD. Yes. Don't you?
I had a hold of because of the horribleness of it. You sit there and laugh.
So Matt, Tim Burton's Batman, when the first time you saw it, you're a little bit older, because 95, so you saw it when all four of the films were out already.
Yes.
And what was your impression with Batman? Is that what kind of made you a Batman fan?
I really liked his costume, and mainly because my uncle, I might have seen it a little earlier than 95, maybe, because my uncle was living with us at the time, my Uncle Ted, and he had a replica Batman cowl with the yellow and black.
Now this
right
is
there.
This is the uncle that's a nerd like us, correct?
Yes, this is okay. The uncle that's a nerd like us.
It's not the one that touched
Batman.
Funny.
and make the Batman costume. Isn't he making a Batman costume?
He was trying to. He cut out AR-500 or L-200 armor.
Yeah, he showed it to me. It was getting there.
Yeah, I was getting there. So, I mean, he kind of introduced me to it. And, you know, I loved it from the start. And whenever I was a kid, I loved all those movies. And, you know, now, of course, I view those movies differently. And we're going to talk about that.
And we'll talk, yeah, definitely.
But, you know, it was awesome. You know, Batman's a great character. You know, he kind of, you know, takes away that alien, you know, superhero power aspect from it. He's a normal guy. And he, you know, uses his resources to be a superhero. You know, somewhat like Tony Stark, but with more martial arts experience.
So basically, he gives us all the feeling that if we just took some Taekwondo and some Jutsu and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, we could go out there and, like, fight for justice and kick some butt.
With the fast car.
Yeah.
Yeah, chicks dig the car.
Yes. Always the car.
Was it Batman Forever, Val Kilmer said that? Or no, Chris O'Donnell, Robin.
Chris O'Donnell.
Chicks dig the car.
When he was out there, like, sitting on it, I'm Batman. You're Batman.
And I can see Matt totally doing that.
I think the 89 Batman film has its place in history. And we had talked about when we were doing the show, we were going to rank the films. And I decided to do that. You know, we decided kind of not to do that because it's very difficult to rank the Batman films, because a lot of people hold the Nolan films to high regard. Frank holds Burton's film to high regard, because it depends on your nostalgia factor of it. Because yeah. if you were honestly ranking the Batman films, there's, I think, hands down, Dark Knight is the best film.
Yeah.
You know,
as a trilogy, yes.
And I think Dark Knight Rises is 2, and then I think maybe Batman Begins is 3, and I wouldn't even put any of the 89 Batman films until after Nolan's trilogy. It would just be very difficult if you were doing it. But let's stick with the original Batman films that came out in the 80s and 90s. And so Batman, like you said, was a new superhero film we hadn't seen. It was darker. I didn't realize until years later that everyone wanted to blame Joel Schumacher for the campiness that he brought to it when he did Batman Forever. But really, if you watch Batman Now and Batman Returns, Tim Burton's pretty campy too. It's a darker type of campy. It's that it's the clowns. That, it's that Tim Burton style of campiness.
Yes.
The weird clowns in the Penguin movie, in the Batman Returns. Michelle Pfeiffer with her one-liners as Catwoman, even though she was hot as hell.
Yes.
The Joker dancing to Prince music. There's a certain level of campiness that Burton put into the films, too. Mm-hmm. But he got away with it because he was that style of director. Doing because
he likes to put a lot of artistic look into
Beetlejuice and the films he had done.
And over-the-top sets.
Yeah.
Makes
and,
it
And now, 30 years later, almost 30 years that I watched Batman, I don't like it as much for that reason. When I was 13 years old, I'm like, wow, this is incredible. Now I like the Batman scenes. You know, I don't like some of the campiness. I don't like Vicki Vale. A lot of that really bugs me now. I see that years later. I think Jack Nicholson is fine in the role as the Joker. I think he was way overcredited at times. I think he's good, but I think he steals the show a little too much, I think, you know, and that's a whole other thing. He asked for a lot of money to do the film. It's still on record maybe one of the biggest paydays ever for an actor, because he took like 3% of the profits, which is a lot at the time. So Nicholson, to me, I love Jack Nicholson, but I think he, by wanting that contract, may have harmed the film a little bit because he's in it so much. And the movie's called Batman, not the Joker. You know, that's just my personal belief, and I don't dislike the film at all. I mean, Batman is a great movie. You know, it's a modern day classic. You know,
but can I say something? Let's be honest. One of the other reasons why we love these Batman, and even if you like the movie or you don't like the movie, we all freaking love the Batmobile.
Oh yeah,
every one of them had a cool Batmobile.
Yes. And it's funny. As much as I really like the Tumbler, the 89 Batman film is still my favorite Batmobile.
Yeah,
I really like that one a lot.
Yeah,
and you know, and then after we got Batman, we got Batman Returns a couple years later, the sequel. Not as well loved. The Penguin's just not a strong villain. He did have Christopher Walken in it. Catwoman, she's great. She's probably the best part of the movie, even though it doesn't make sense how she becomes Catwoman.
Yeah.
It's just kind of bizarre. She falls out a window and she gets bitten by cats and, oh, I'm Catwoman now. It's like, what?
Psychological damage.
You know.
She starts sewing together. That's
not a film that I really want to watch over and over again. It's like Frank said, I only own 89 Batman because I really don't want to watch the other ones. Batman Forever, we'll talk about in a minute. That's the only other one of those four I could watch again. Batman Returns, I just can't put. I wouldn't put it in the player and watch it. I'm just not. I can't get into the film. It's a brutal Batman film. People talk about how Batman doesn't kill. Watch Batman Returns. He's throwing people down sewers.
Yep.
He's basically murdering Penguin's men left and right.
He's throwing bombs at him. Yeah. Remember? Yeah. He's like, here's a bomb.
Boom. Yeah, it is very dark in a sense.
The best part of the film is his relationship with Catwoman and Selina Kyle. That's probably the best part of the film. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts? More thoughts on Batman Returns? Not a lot to say about it. It's just not as loved.
Yeah,
Christopher Walken was a jackass.
Well, Walken's always, you know, but he can get away with it. He's Christopher Walken.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about him too much. He's the type that would come after us.
Yeah, he would.
You know, yeah.
Sorry, Christopher. I was drunk for that 1 second.
And then we have Batman Forever after that. We change directors. Joel Schumacher comes in, and he directs Batman Forever. We get introduced to Robin, and there's a lot I like about this movie. Yes, he brings in some campiness, and I'm not a big fan of Val Kilmer as Bruce Wayne Batman. He's okay.
I like Val Kilmer.
Nicole Kidman, yeah, whatever. The things I do like about this film is I really think Jim Carrey does a great job as a Riddler. Yeah. Is he a little over the top? Yeah, but that's what he's no more over the top than Nicholson was as Joker.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tommy Lee Jones, on the other hand, he bugs me in the film. I love Tommy Lee Jones, one of my all-time favorite actors. But he's so over the top as Harold already did in Two-Face.
Every other minute, he's like,
yeah, it's annoying.
Like, back.
It's really annoying. And he's one thing I don't like about it. I didn't have a problem with Chris O'Donnell cast as Robin. He was fine. I really like the Robin suit in that movie. I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, with the classic red and green. I like the holy rust and metal Batman. I like that nod to the series. There's things I like about it. The plot's a little ridiculous with the Riddler trying to steal your memories and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's supposed to be. It's a comic book film. But I don't hate that one. For some reason, it's kind of a guilty pleasure Batman film.
And after it came out, if you went to SeaWorld, which, you know, they had this Batman Forever show for the longest time, the scene where he would, like, shoot torpedoes, and they'd have, like, you know, shoot torpedo from the Batboat, and then, you know, he had to go save Nicole Kidman, and they have, like, that little scene played out on like the little platform on the water, and it was really cool to watch. And it made me like that movie for a long time.
Yeah,
I thought Batman Forever was like the best Batman film for a long time.
Well, and it was probably at your age, probably one of the first ones you might saw in theaters, maybe. Yeah.
And then they had the music video, so if you would watch an MTV and you saw Seal on there, Kiss from a Rose.
Oh, I love that song.
Hey, and back then, because MTV was very popular, wouldn't you watch it just for the movie scenes? You're like, because you're waiting for it to come out in theaters. Remember, the song came out months before the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I just want to watch this for the movie scenes, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not a Seal fan, but I actually like that song. I'll still sing to it when it comes on the radio. Shower. No, at work.
So, Batman Forever, Frank, you have any thoughts on...
Yeah, I mean, it was okay. Still not up there. I've been like, if you go from that one, like in the middle of from 89, somewhere is better, you know, than its predecessors and the ones that follow it, I think.
I think it's better than Batman Returns, but not better than Batman.
Right.
And then the last film in the 90s series is... I'm not even going to really talk about it that much. We all know it's dog shit, and that's Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible film. My dad, I saw it with him in theaters, and my dad was the type of person that didn't say a bad thing about anything. But we walked out of the theater, my dad goes, "What was that shit?" That told you right there that it was horrible. For my dad to say it was horrible, it was horrible.
Yeah.
And Matt, I know you have a love for all things Arnold. Everyone that listens to the Rebel Radio podcast knows Matt loves Arnold.
But he was cheesy
But
as
that
hell.
Film sucks.
Yeah, it does.
It
was, like, one of the worst parts of that whole movie.
And I thought it was cool when I was a kid, because I saw the suit, and I'm like, whoa!
Clooney as Batman was exciting casting. I think when people were optimistic when he was announced, I was like, okay. But the movie's just so bad on all levels.
The jungle scene?
Uma Thurman is terrible. She's trying so hard, and we know she can act. We've seen her in a Tarantino film. She obviously has ability. Chris O'Donnell is... and George are probably the only two that are trying, but the dialogue they have is so bad that they don't know what to do with it. Arnold just has fun with it. At this point in his career, it was a paycheck. He didn't care. You know, he was thinking about politics at this point. It was 97. He was thinking about, you know, and it's just...
I think Bane was good.
No. It was all... Wasn't that Bane? That was probably the worst. What was that? It was a luchador wrestler?
I know, right?
Yeah.
Honestly,
I didn't even know who the hell Bane was, other than a character that broke Batman's back.
Total dog shit. I think that's all we need, dog shit. I don't think there's any other thing way to describe Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm.
And before we move on to the Nolan films, as we continue our talking about Batman, as we are talking Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice in 2 weeks. This is our Batman show. Next week is our Superman show. Then we'll bring it all together when we talk about the big film that's coming out. So we're continuing with Batman. But I want to stay in the 90s for a minute. And a show that aired on television that really, really got me into Batman. More hardcore than even 89 Batman, Burton's film, made me a Batman fan. But this television series made me a Batman super fan. And that is Batman the Animated Series.
Yes. Yes.
To this day, I still love it. I own it all on DVD. If they release it on Blu-ray and remaster it, I will buy it. I will purchase it twice. That's how much I love the show. I would come home from school every day. I was in high school at the time. We didn't have DVR then. I had my VCR set. I would record it because it would air like at 1:30, 2 o'clock. I'm still... Back then when we had daytime cartoons. You know, nowadays,
I remember that. I used to have to record other cartoon series on my
VCR. I would record
VCR.
It on my VCR and I would watch it. And I would come home and watch Batman the Animated Series every day. Still to this day, my absolute favorite incarnation of Batman anywhere. I will take Batman the Animated Series over the Nolan films, over anything. I hold it in that high of regard as one of my favorite things in the universe.
I kind of agree. If you were gave me the choice of popping in all the movies throughout the day or that animated series, I would go with the series.
Yeah.
You know, and enjoy it way more. Because it was just that, it was that good. Well done, acted, drawn, Mr. the way, J. the style.
It gave us Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn.
Who, of course, will be in Suicide Squad this summer. She's a mega popular character now.
Yes.
It gave us... I think Bane had already come out, but I think it brought Bane into the show. It made him more popular.
It gave Bane like what Bane should be.
It gave a familiarity to characters that weren't the Joker and Catwoman. We had Clayface and Two-Face and Maximus and all these other... who's the guy with the
one with the puppet master?
Yeah, the puppet guy. I can't think of his name for life of me. Poison Ivy. All these characters that people... unless you read comics you weren't super familiar with, but Batman the Animated Series did such a great job of bringing those characters into the mainstream.
And then for some people, it was like, holy crap, Batman has more than just the Penguin and the Joker as a bad guy.
It was done in a new style card, Art Deco, where basically they animated it on black paper. And to give it that look that it got, Kevin Conroy voices Bruce Wayne Batman to this day. People still believe he's the best Batman voice. Mark Hamill, of course, is the Joker.
Not the Lego Batman?
Not Will Arnett, no.
No, just kidding.
Mark Hamill, of course, Luke Skywalker, is the voice of the Joker. Still arguably the best voice ever. And
he has the creepiest voice.
And it's just a great, great show. Won some daytime Emmys. I know that back when it was on. And it's not on. I don't see any of the Cartoon Networks right now. I don't know who. Warner Brothers has a stake in Cartoon Network. Why they're not showing it in reruns on their own network, I don't know. Because Batman the Animated Series should be on television every day for kids to watch because it's that good. There's been other incarnations of Batman since. You know, we've had The Batman. We've had that Beware the Batman a couple years ago. Wasn't that good. I did enjoy Batman Brave and the Bold. That was a pretty fun series. At first, I didn't take it too seriously. Then I sat down and watched it on Netflix. I'm like, wow, Batman Brave and the Bold is actually really good. Mm-hmm. It's kind of campy, kind of cheesy, but it's really well done.
They brought back the blue Batman.
Yeah. You know, and that was good, too. But and from the Batman the Animated Series, we did have a theatrical release. We had Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Yes.
Which is, a lot of people believe, is still the best best Batman film to ever air in theaters. There are people who think it's better than Nolan stuff, better than anything. I don't know if I'd go that high with it, but it was fun. I did see it in theaters when it came out. Mm-hmm. I made it to the theater to see Mask of the Phantasm. It's only available on DVD. For some reason, it's not available on Blu-ray. I don't know why. But,
yeah, since they've released everything else pretty much on Blu-ray when it comes to the movies.
Mask of the Phantasm was excellent. Y'all saw it, right?
Yes. Yeah. That was my series. I mean, there were so many Batman toys that came out, and I think I sent a picture of a Catwoman toy that I had from that animated series the other day, going through some old toys. So many cool toys came out. I mean, used to get one all the time. That was a really good series. I watched that and, of course, the Spider-Man one. That also went through the comics.
There were some good X-Men and Spider-Man both had really good animated series in the 90s, too.
And I own a lot of the Spider-Man stuff. I need to get on the Batman one because Jake needs to watch that one, too.
But excellent series. So that was a big exposure for me. And any other thoughts you had on the Batman animated series, Frank?
No, it was just really enjoyable. And for those who have children that haven't seen it, definitely once you feel they're old enough.
And we had toyed around with an idea, me and Matt. I don't know, I guess you were sleeping, Frank. And me and Matt were talking one day about toyed around the idea of doing, like, picking 5 episodes of our favorites and doing some commentaries for them.
Yeah.
Next year will be the 25th anniversary of Batman the Animated Series because it started airing in 1992. And we were kind of toying around the idea of later this year preparing those to release in 2017. And we'll see where that goes. You know, never know. It'd be kind of something different for the podcast to do something. But there will definitely be some sort of celebration for the animated series next year.
Definitely.
So Batman animated series, that was another great thing in the 90s. And then Batman kind of went dormant. Unfortunately, Batman and Robin killed the franchise because it was absolute crap on a stick and a half. Chill. Or whatever, you know, you probably know the Arnold.
It killed the dinosaurs. Yeah. The Ice Age.
And it killed the Batman franchise.
They put them on total freeze.
Then Marvel rolls around with, well, not so much Marvel Studios yet, but Marvel, the characters owned at Sony and Fox, who owned the X-Men and Spider-Man, started putting out films. And Warner Brothers sitting over there like, well, this is not good. Marvel's getting some films out there. We need to make some money. Obviously, they go to Batman. He's the guy that their number one
people recognize it
character, and we got to get him back in theaters. And starting around 2002, 2003, when X-Men 2 came out, started rumbling that a Batman film was going to be made again. There was rumors of James Cameron, again, because he had done Spider-Man. There were rumors of Darren Aronofsky, who had made a couple films, and he actually was on the project for quite a while and was going to do Batman Begins. And then there was a couple other directors, and no one seemed to know how to revamp Batman and bring him back into theaters. And along comes a relatively unknown director, Christopher Nolan. He had done a couple of murder mystery type films. He had done Memento, and he had done Insomnia, and people didn't really know who he was, but he went to Warner Brothers, or Warner Brothers came to him, whoever, and said, you know, I can do this, and they trusted him. And he cast Christian Bale as Batman Bruce Wayne, brings in Liam Neeson, who's a well-known actor at this point, for a part, And it started shaping together. People were, like, getting excited about it. There's some rumblings. People didn't know what to make about it. Warner Brothers didn't do a whole lot of early press on Batman Begins because the franchise had such a sour taste in its mouth from the George Clooney film that Warner Brothers was very careful. Christian Bale was a relatively unknown in 2004 or so when they were filming. He wasn't a household name yet. And obviously, in summer of 2005, Batman Begins hits theaters. And from the first trailer that aired in Christmas 2004, people started getting excited about it. It was dark. It was kind of different. People were like, wow, what is this new Batman? It wasn't campy. It was more serious. And it started getting a buzz. And of course,
he had a less bulkier outfit.
Yeah, he was more of a regular-looking guy. The outfit wasn't as crazy. And Batman Begins hit theaters that summer. And it was not a humongous hit at the box office, but a big enough hit. Christopher Nolan did it with a lower budget because Nolan came in and said, you know, we can do more practical effects. It's amazing how much CGI is not in Nolan's Batman films. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of practical effects in his Batman films. And so he came in and he revitalized the Batman franchise with Batman Begins and just with a great movie, right?
It was. I love the Batman Begins because, you know, they went to the League of Shadows, you know, and you never got to see that outside of the Batman animated series.
Let me stop you on that for a second. There are a lot of different incarnations of Batman's origins, mm-hmm. and one of the origins was that he had studied with the League of Assassins. There's other origins that he just went to the Orient and studied martial arts, and they went with the League of Assassins idea, and it works.
Yeah. No,
yeah, I like the League of Assassins take on it because they're more of a Fist of style. I would say that for him to train and then be able to take on the bad guys that he had to take on, because if you actually look at the League of Assassins, the way they've done them is that they are the top-notch. One guy can go out and take out 20 guys.
And if you think about it, what happened whenever he got to the top of the mountain? It's like, he goes, huh, jiu-jitsu. And he instantly reverses one of his arm bars. Or he's trying to get an arm bar on Liam Neeson. And he, you know, he tries to use some judo, and he goes, you know, and he, you know, gets him off of him, and he's like, you're skilled, but this is not a dance, and throws him down, you know. And so maybe they did kind of allude to a little bit of the Orient,
right.
But I thought it was funny because, you know, martial arts is kind of a dance. You know, we have forms, and it's kind of like a dance. I was like, I like that. Yep. I like you, Liam Neeson. And, I think it was, you know, really good in solidifying Bruce Wayne's origins, you know, his mentality, trying to learn from criminals and being so hell-bent on dealing with them that he threw himself into jail.
And then one of the great things is, of course, we forgot to mention Gary Oldman cast as Jim Gordon, who's fantastic in the role as a detective. And I love the scene where they first introduce Batman in the film at the docks and all that, and he picks the guy up and he's like, who are you, man? He's like, I'm Batman. And as much as in 1989...
And a smoker.
As much as in 1989, I loved when Michael Keaton first says, I'm Batman, Bale nails it a little bit better. I give Bale the edge on this one. His raising the guy, I'm like, I'm Batman, was kind of cooler. Yes. You know, his cape's all flowing in the wind, and you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. And so Batman Begins kicks off a new trilogy done by Christopher Nolan. And we get not so much a known villain in Batman Begins. We got Ra's al Ghul in the form of a different type of Ra's al Ghul that is in the comics. In the comics, Ra's al Ghul is the demon's head. He owns a power ring that allows him to rule the League of Assassins, and he uses a Lazarus Pits to keep himself alive for many, many years. They went with a different take on Ra's al Ghul, and they stayed away from the mystical. In fact, they made the Dark Knight trilogy is very much about symbolism, that Batman is a symbol, and we'll get into that in a second as we talk about the other two films. Mm-hmm. So he did Ra's al Ghul as more of a symbol. He even says that in the end. He goes, am I so much immortal as I am just a name, you know?
Yes.
He kind of mentions that. And so I think that's why Batman Begins did not do super huge at the box office, because maybe it wasn't a villain that people were familiar with.
Yeah.
But it did well enough. They filmed it on a low enough budget that it made enough money to warrant a sequel. And, of course, in 2008, we got The Dark Knight.
Which we all went to go see.
Right.
Together.
Yes. And it blew us all away.
Yeah.
I think there's not a person I know that has ever seen that doesn't like that film. Heath Ledger, rest his soul, is absolutely amazing as the Joker, as we all know by now. Gary Oldman comes back as Jim Gordon. He's fantastic. Aaron Eckhart is fantastic as Harvey Dent Two-Face. And what can be said about The Dark Knight that hasn't been said about it's the highest standard there is for a comic book film. And I get tired of this people arguing, oh, they're not comic book films, they're crime sagas. Yeah, they are, but they're still comic book films, okay? And The Dark Knight is the end-all of Batman films, and as much as we're looking forward to Batman vs. Superman and seeing how Affleck does it with Batman, it's the Nolan trilogy is a whole different thing. But before we get into that, The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I love it, because it's, like I said, I like the darkness, and come on, look at all the previous Jokers. That one's just, he nails what you expect from the Joker to be.
You can't top a guy that got so into the role that he thought he was the Joker and went crazy, had to take antipsychotics. You know, he became the Joker. He really did. I mean...
Yeah, I'm not convinced Jared Leto's going to be better than him either.
No.
But I mean, the guy's a great actor, but we'll see.
Well, you know, you'll have
how
to give...
How good of a role he does.
You know, each their own, you know, their own respects. And, you know, he stole the show. You know, we thought we were going to go see a Batman movie, and I think we walked out and said, we saw a Joker movie.
And he won the Oscar for it, and deservingly so, for Best Supporting Actor. I thought he was excellent. Role. It's very rare to see a actor win for a movie, a genre film, basically.
Yeah.
But he did win, and I don't think, I to this day don't believe it had anything to do with him passing away. I think he earned it that year. He was very good in the role. And there's so much in that film I love. It's the one Batman film I can watch anytime. If it's on TNT or something, I'll stop and start watching it, even though I've seen it.
Now you have it on DVD, and you probably get through it like twice the
opening,
fast.
The opening sequence is amazing with the bank robbery. The Bat Pod, when the Batmobile crashes and he turns into a pod, I mean, how fucking cool is that? You know, it was awesome. And I as a Batman fan, it's just like... It gets me giddy, you know? It's just a great, great movie.
And the sonography eyes, it's like all the tech. And, you know, he's like, he requests the different suits, and he goes, you know, what's wrong? And he's like, you know, well, I would like to be able to back out of the driveway. And
of course, Morgan Freeman's great as Lucius Fox. That was great casting, too.
Yeah.
And
I like the little humor, though. You know, that he gets the suit, and he goes, well, you're going to be more susceptible to knives and gunfire. And he's like, well, you don't want to make it too easy.
Oh, and let's talk about Bale for a moment. Bale's taking some flack for his Batman voice and stuff like that, but who cares? In the role, he's fantastic. I as much as I like Michael Keaton in the day, I do think Bale is our best Batman we've had. You know, the 1989 Batman film holds a special place in my soul for being the first Batman film, but I think Bale is the best in the role.
Yeah, I'd have to give him number one, then Michael Keaton, and then, of course... Adam West.
And and we'll see how Ben does. I think Ben will be fine. I know the internet has trashed him for 2 years, but we'll see when the movie gets here in a couple weeks. So Heath passes away, of course, and so we have to do. They're going to do a sequel, and they took him a while to get The Dark Knight Rises off the ground because they weren't sure where to go with it. Because we all know that Nolan was going to bring the Joker back, and that was the plan. So they had to redo things. So they go the smart route. Let's make a sequel to Batman Begins. That's essentially what The Dark Knight Rises is. Mm-hmm. You know, because the League of Assassins is still in play, and they want to send Bane to Gotham City to do what Ra's al Ghul was not able to do a few years earlier. And Tom Hardy, of course, is cast as Bane, another great casting choice, and Hardy had worked with Nolan in Inception. And I really like The Dark Knight Rises. I know there's some people that... The last few years since it's been out, because it came out, 2012, I think? Yeah, in the last 3 or 4 years since it's been out now, people have started to hate on it a little bit. I don't know why. I think it's really well-done film. I really think that Joseph Gordon-Levitt is excellent in it.
I like
people say there's not enough Batman in it, and I would agree with that to an extent. But I think it's the most solid Batman film from beginning to end with the flow of it, I feel, in some ways. I like The Dark Knight because it's so... just well done, but The Dark Knight can be all over the place a little bit. If you go watch The Dark Knight, there's some editing issues in it. Like, the scenes will jump in fast. And I think Dark Knight Rises, I don't know if you use a different editor or what, but it's put together, I think, better. You know, if you watch it as a film, and it's a straightforward plot, Bane wants to destroy Gotham, Batman has to come back and stop him, Bane removes Batman from Gotham so he can do it, and come back and save him, Batman.
Breaks the bat.
Yeah. And they borrow that from... Nolan does borrow from the comics a lot with some of his storylines.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's still... I would have to say it still put that at... Even though it's the number three of films, it's still my third number three out of those three. Because I like the other two better. Like, flip... Put number two as number one and number two, three, two, and...
I like in number one how he was trying to make up all the excuses why he needed the stuff.
I do, though, like... In Dark Knight Rises, as much as I like the bank robbery scene in Batman or in The Dark Knight, the opening sequence of Dark Knight Rises is pretty impressive, too. The airplane escape.
Yeah, I mean, it's is cool.
That's a pretty damn impressive opening of the film. And so, The Dark Knight Rises kind of follows in the path of The Dark Knight. Just another excellent Batman film with a slightly not as popular villain, you know. And, of course, Talia al Ghul is in it. She did all this to get revenge for Batman killing her father. And so we've all seen these films. So we're not spoiling anything. People haven't seen. You haven't seen the Nolan trilogy by now.
Yeah, man, we spoiled it for you already.
So that being said, I want to go back to talk about. Not anything else about The Dark Knight Rises, but let's talk about Nolan's films as a whole. Nolan's films were very much about symbolism and Batman as a symbol to his people. And when we got to the end of The Dark Knight Rises, I love the way that Nolan wraps up his trilogy, but I also hate the ending. Batman, of course. Fakes his daddy died, and he leaves town because he did fix the autopilot. And the ending is so poetic and so great, where Alfred is there watching Batman. He sees Bruce Wayne in Italy eating, and he knows he's okay. He leaves the coordinates to the Batcave for Levitt's character, and it turns out that his middle name is Robin, or his real name is Robin. Mm-hmm. And that way it ends, where the cave is lifting. The whole idea was, who would not have wanted to see a fourth film where he takes over the mantle of Batman because Batman's a symbol, and so it goes so bad again that Bruce has to come back into town and say, sorry, kid, I need my suit. Here's a Robin suit. Wouldn't we have all liked to have seen that?
I would have loved to see
that. It would have been way cool. I love the ending of The Dark Knight Rises and the symbolism of it and the way it ends that Batman is a symbol for this city. And it's just the trilogy as a whole sets a standard for trilogies.
Actually, I'll be honest, with that ending, I was almost kind of hoping of a Robin movie, and that took place, you know, because we had the Batman. I just kind of like to see a movie based around the Robin character leading into the whole Darkwing.
Nightwing, you mean?
I mean, Darkwing
Duck. Duck.
Yeah, Nightwing.
Really?
Yeah.
Darkwing Duck?
Yes. Darkwing Robin. Yeah.
Speaking of Alfred. Alfred is the one constant in Batman's life and is the character.
Yeah.
And we had two great ones. As Michael Koff was fantastic in the 80s and 90s films. Even in Batman and Robin, in a horrible film, he was probably, might have been the best part of it.
Yeah.
And then we had Michael Caine, who of course did a great job as in the Nolan films. And now we're getting Jeremy Irons. It's interesting. Three very
Jeremy
different
Irons?
Actors is playing,
playing.
Yeah, he's playing Alfred. Three very different actors playing Alfred.
That's right.
You know, Michael Koff was a classically trained character actor. Michael Caine was a, he's a British, also kind of classically trained, almost Shakespearean type actor.
I remember Iron from Dungeons and Dragons.
And now you're getting the voice of Lion King, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Jeremy Irons playing.
Scar.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see on where they go with this and how he plays Alfred.
I was reading an article where they interviewed Christian Bale about, you know, the new Batman choice. And, you know, he said at first he was like, man, he's like, you know, he was disappointed because it wasn't his name up there. And he, you know, he kind of, you know, was like, man, why isn't it my name? You know, man, I should have, you know, tried to reprise the role. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I can't think like that anymore. He's like, I'm 40 years old, you know, but I'm like, you know what? All these other superheroes, Iron Man, you know, Hulk, those characters that play them are, you know, 40, 50 plus. I mean, look at Ben Affleck. He's, you know, older than Bale, I believe. So,
2 years.
Yeah. But, you know, it was interesting to see. He said he's not going to go see the movie, but, you know, I wouldn't
He probably will.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like the fact that they got somebody else to play the role. I mean, it goes to the same thing of, like, you got to think of the different Batman as, like, different artists and writers that have done this character through the comic books. You know, no writer is the same. No artist is the same. Mm-hmm. So they had their take on how he looks, how he, you know, is written and stuff. And you got to do the same thing when it comes to actors playing the role.
True.
You know, it's their take on Batman and the way he looks. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm perfectly fine with all these different actors.
Well, there was a time, it took me some time to come to terms that the Nolan trilogy was the Nolan trilogy, and that was it. You know, I really wanted more of it. But I'm okay with DC moving on creating their own universe now. And, of course, we're going to get that. It started with Man of Steel, and we're going to get Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, which will kick off this new DC universe as we get Wonder Woman and Aquaman. Justice League and Aquaman, Cyborg, The Flash. You know, there's a lot of rumors the Cyborg movie is going to turn into a Teen Titans movie, which I think makes more sense.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. And so that's our Batman thoughts. Any other thoughts we have on Batman before we move on to some other subjects today?
Batman. One of the baddest ass heroes in the comic book slash whatever. What do they call it? Mystery novel, whatever people want to call it. He's just badass.
And we're going to follow up this episode with our V Superman episode, and we will be talking Superman and the films we've had from him so far, and his place in history. And we did an episode recently where we did our favorite heroes and villains, and we all kind of had Batman towards the top because he is one of the greatest heroes ever created. He's a guy that people love the gadgets, the cars. He has a great, great rogues gallery, probably the best goat rogues gallery in any sort of comic book. And it's hard to top Batman's cool factor. It's hard to top his his appeal.
Yeah.
You know, a rich guy who has the ability to avenge people,
and you don't need superpowers to kick butt.
I'm glad you didn't say to be Batman, because you do have to be in shape to be Batman.
No, I'm just saying you don't have to have superpowers. Yeah, you just have to know lots of martial arts and be filthy, stinking rich to be Batman.
Mm-hmm. And
so that you can train all the time and be
or you just have to know how to shape L200 foam and think you're Batman.
Right.
Or be and like Matt and just buy your shit off there's something, the internet.
Yes. And we'll talk about this more probably next episode or in the Batman vs. Superman episode, is why Batman and Superman are always known together, because they're such opposites in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why they work together. And I'm really excited for the
yin and yang of...
Yes, and I'm super excited for the film. I really am. I've seen enough from the trailers. I just want to see the damn movie. We've been talking Batman vs. Superman for like 3 years. Man, they announced this film like 3 years ago. It was supposed to be out this past summer. They pushed it back into 2016. And it's just like, my God, give us the film already, you know? How you feel?
Yeah.
Did you like that Kimmel? The deleted scene, Batman versus Superman.
That was hilarious. That was hilarious, dude. So freaking. That's like one of the best shorts.
Is it better than Undercover Boss Kylo Ren?
I think so. Yeah.
That thing was hilarious. Okay,
so what happens is, you know, it's that part of the trailer where Superman is like, well, Clark Kent is
don't give it away.
What do you think about the Batman or the Batman vigilante in Gotham? And
Jimmy where they Kimmel, meet at the gallery thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel walks up and he goes, whoa.
It's Superman.
It's Superman. He's like, no, I'm not. He's like, yeah, man. Hey, it's Superman. And so he keeps walking away, and then he's like, you know, he keeps annoying Superman. And eventually he, like, flies out of the world and, like, throws him onto the sun.
I like the part where he hands Bruce his camera and goes, hey, can you take a picture of me as Superman?
Yeah.
And Bruce puts the camera and goes, say cheese.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap, it's Batman!
He goes, yeah, it's Batman. And then the voice of Lego Batman pops up. And he goes, yes.
I am Batman.
I'm Batman. He goes, you're not Batman. He goes, I'm Lego Batman. No one cares about Lego Batman.
Your kids do.
He's like, ask your kids if they care.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. I don't know why it got taken down on Facebook, but I couldn't find it anywhere. Like last week, my wife was the one that pointed it out because she wanted to go back to the link and watch it again.
She just wanted to see Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck again.
And Matt Damon was on the moon. He gets thrown to Mars. That's yeah. Right. And then he looks up and Matt Damon's there. He goes, oh hey, you want to do a talk show here where I just come on as your guest?
I saw the moon.
I like the best part. But even the best part of that thing goes, another great job at not winning an Oscar.
Was he on the moon or on Mars?
Mars.
I haven't seen that. Did y'all see The Martian?
It's good.
I need to watch it.
It's good. I still don't get why they nominated it for some of the things they did.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a good movie.
I need to watch it. I like Ridley Scott, so I have to watch it. So, Batman. That's our... We went through the Batman films, the animated series. We all kind of agree Christian Bale's our favorite Batman.
Yeah.
Our favorite Joker. Yeah. People kind of say Heath Ledger.
And so, the suit. The suit that he's wearing, he uses it to block Superman's punch. That's from the comics. Batman actually makes a kryptonite suit. That's a kryptonite suit.
I've read the Dark Knight.
I know, but some people may
when,
not
when you're familiar. Talking about the suits, I like the 89 Batman costume, but the Nolan ones are more practical when it comes to actually... Because I even remember Michael Keaton saying, like, he could not move in that outfit.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't turn your head.
And it was
you
were like a
robot. He was covered in sweat.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like, you basically was wearing a big, giant rubber / foam costume.
And he said
Keaton claims he's never watched Nolan films. I don't know if I believe him.
I doubt that.
I think these guys like to say shit just to, you know, stir up things.
And just be like, I don't want to admit that this guy was better
than
me.
Yeah, I think so, man. I do believe it when actors say they don't watch themselves, because I could see that as a human being. I don't know if I'd want to watch myself. But I don't
believe... you're always going to be your worst.
But I don't believe that you don't go watch other people's films, even if you play the character. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't... Yeah, so I don't always believe... You know, I also think it's funny how... backtracking a little bit, how these actors now, like, they'll play a role, they're all proud of it, and then they'll hate on it.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Reynolds is doing now. He was all proud of Green Lantern. Now he hates on it just because he thinks it's cool to hate on it.
Yes.
Same thing. There's been other actors that have done that. Man, mine was just in my mind a second ago. I forgot on it. And I'm not saying Green Lantern was a great movie or anything, but at the time you're proud of it. Then a few years later, it's cool to hate it, so you hate it. It's like, just, you did the film, man. You know, whatever. Anyway, went a little tangent there. So, Batman Versus episode. We've got Batman versus Superman Dawn just 2 weeks. Next week, we're going to talk Superman. But we're not going anywhere yet. Show's not over. That's just the Batman part of the show on the Rebel Radio Podcast. Trust me, I'm a Jedi.com. We've always done the show with some breaks and things like that where I split it up. With this new equipment, we're feeling revitalized, and we might start doing more straight-through shows. And so you might just hear us talk for a while. We hope you don't mind.
Ramble on.
And I might, you know... But we're going to switch gears completely from, not completely in far as comic books, but we're going to go from DC to Marvel.
Yep.
Yeehaw. Big trailer hit this week.
Big one.
Underoos.
Captain America Civil War, new trailer hit. Broke the internet more than Kim Kardashian's ass, you know?
Yes, pretty much.
And so we got our first look at Spider-Man. There's no spoiler here. You should know by now, it's all over the internet. I mean, we were all going to go see the film anyway. Civil War, Winter Soldier is still probably my favorite Marvel film. I like it even a little more than I even like Guardians of the Galaxy and the Marvel Studios films. I really think Winter Soldier is a great movie.
Yes.
So I was already pumped for Civil War. And I rewatched Winter Soldier the other day, in fact. I bought a new soundbar for the TV, so I had to test it out a little bit. I put in Winter Soldier.
He had to copy me and get the same one.
Yeah, I already told you that story, man. You went back in time, or forward in time, okay?
Oh, yeah, you were right, because I had to go...
You went forward in time and said, whoa, Mark's watching Star Wars The Force Awakens with a soundbar. It's pretty badass.
And I already knew how to hook it up, because I had to come over here and help him hook his up.
So... Yeah, bitch. So Civil War trailer hits. There's some complaints about that people are saying. I see their complaints. They're complaining there's too much plot threads in it. Okay, well, fanboys, let me tell you something. Trailers aren't made to sell you on the film. You're already going to go see it. If you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast, chances are you're going to go see Civil War. But mom and pop Joe and Jane that sit at home and don't follow the internet or don't go... on and watch a lot of TV, but they do go to the movies on the weekends because that's what they enjoy doing in their 50s. They don't know the plot thread. They don't read comic books. So the movie studio's job is to sell the movie to Joe and Jane Pops so they'll go see the film. And that's what it's for, people. I don't have a problem with that. I didn't give away the whole movie.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it's called Civil War. We know it's going to be hero against hero.
Right.
You know? So I think that's a ridiculous argument. It's just like when people say, oh, Michael Bay ruined my Transformers, or he ruined my childhood. No, he didn't, man. Your childhood was 20 years ago. Michael Bay didn't do shit to your childhood.
And okay? If you don't like those movies, go back and watch the cartoon.
So I don't have a problem with them giving some plot threads in the Civil War trailer. We all kind of knew what it was about anyway. In fact, I think it opened it up a little bit before for me because I find it very interesting how they're going to go this route. Mm-hmm. As Cap gets blamed for a lot of the goings-on in the world and people aren't trusting the superheroes anymore. And but you've all seen the trailer by now. I don't need to describe it to you. But the big reveal, of course, was Spider-Man. Tom Holland, young actor, relatively unknown, is going to play Peter Parker Spider-Man in a joint partnership with Sony, as they're going to allow Marvel Studios to use the character in films to a certain extent, and Marvel Studios is going to help produce Sony's new Spider-Man film, which will be out next year. And it's 2 seconds of footage, and it blew up the internet. People are freaking out. Oh my God, he's CGI. No, he's not. It's a very bright suit. That's an actor in the suit, people. It's not CGI.
I think the reason why they're saying CGI, because there is a little bit of CGI in the eyes.
Well, we're going to talk about
that. Does bother me.
We're going to talk about that in a second, okay? But in the brief 2 seconds, my personal belief is they shouldn't have revealed him. People knew Spider-Man was in the film already.
They just would have.
But did you need to sell the film with Spider-Man? No, people were going to go see it anyway. I think you should have waited and saved the big reveal.
You saw him on the screen. That's when you.
It's just like,
oh, cool,
Yoda in Attack of the Clones. Everyone knew that Yoda was probably going to fight in Attack of the Clones, but did they ever show it in a trailer? No. So when you walked in the theater and you saw it, you're like, wow, this is cool. And I think they should have done that with Spider-Man, personally.
Right.
The CGI on the eyes. Okay. I'm pretty 99% sure. I'm going to go out here and make a 99% sure theory that it's some sort of tech. In the Civil War comic books, Tony Stark creates Spider-Man an Iron Spider suit. Obviously, it looks very different than the suit in the movie. But I have a feeling that there's some sort of tech in this suit that was created for him.
Now, if that is explained in the movies, then I will be totally fine with it.
And I don't see why it wouldn't be, because I don't see why his eyes are just going to change like that in the suit. I think it's got to be tech of some sort.
I mean,
sort.
My cousin's a Spider-Man fan, and he said, you know, in the comic books and everything, the mask fits pretty tight, so he does give a little bit of facial expression.
Right, but not so much that his eyes turn.
Yeah, I mean, they go from, like, big pupil looking to like squinty pupil looking.
Yeah, it's probably some sort of tech of some sort, I'm sure.
But let's admit, we all want to see the damn Spidey out, the Spidey Iron outfit.
Damn, Frank shaked the whole table.
Sorry, for the first time I ever saw that, like, on the comic book, I've always just wanted to see that, like, on the screen.
I want to see it.
I know.
It looks like the costume is very much modern, but yet a throwback to the original Steve Ditko and Stan Lee comics where that, you know. Yeah. Very classic looking.
Oh, my cousin loved the way the outfit looked.
From everything I've heard from Tom Holland, that actors that or directors that have met him say that he is Peter Parker. He's excellent. He's going to be really good in the role. He's a gymnast, so he has a lot of natural ability to do flips and turns and do his own stunts.
That's cool.
And I'm excited about it. I do love Spider-Man a lot, too. I the Sam Raimi films, I enjoyed them for what they were. And I know 3 is not as good as the first two. The newer Mark Webb films, enjoyed the first one, Lizard, second one, not so much, but I don't hate the films, you know, the Amazing Spider-Man films. The Emma Stone is excellent as Gwen Stacy, you know, I mean, they can put Emma Stone in any movie.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's good that we're getting, and the best thing about this, people, that they need to remember is Spider-Man's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Finally.
Spider-Man's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Marvel has Spider-Man, people, and that's awesome. It's hard to argue what they've done so far, going back to Iron Man in 2008 when they started this whole thing. Spider-Man is in good hands.
Hey, you know what? Maybe everybody that's a huge Marvel fan should just boycott, like, all the X-Men films and, like, not go see them to where they're so unprofitable for Fox that they go, hey, Marvel.
Why? The X-Men films have been good.
No, but I'm just saying, if we want to see all our heroes in one big film.
I think it's fine how it is. I don't think you want too much. Mm-hmm. So, Matt, you've been kind of quiet over here. Are you not happy with Spider-Man?
Everyone's talking about Spider-Man.
I mean, you're wearing a Captain America hat.
No one's talking about Black Panther.
Dude.
Or
we will talk about
Crossbones.
Nobody cares about Crossbones except for you.
Yeah, I know.
But when Black Panther is standing there and that thing's shooting at him and the bullets are just bouncing off him, he's like, yeah, what's up,
bitch? He's like, I'm not Quicksilver.
Yeah.
He's like, who do you think I was? Some skinny blonde chick or blonde dude?
It's interesting. I hope it almost feels like Avengers 3 because there are a lot of characters in it. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how it turns out. But the Russo brothers say, no, it's very much a Captain America film. And I get that vibe from this new trailer that Cap and Iron Man are in it a lot. But the other guy, Scarlet Witch and Ant-Man, I have a feeling they're probably not in as much as we think. I think they'll probably
the battle scenes.
Show up towards the end of the film. Yeah.
I thought that was cool that you see Ant-Man on one of Hawkeye's arrows.
Yeah.
And he's going through Iron Man's fingers.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's going to be more end of the film kind of thing, that those characters might not be as much as we think, mm-hmm. you know, which is fine, you know, because it should be a Captain America film. You're going to call a movie Captain America Civil War. It needs to be a Captain America film.
And yeah. I like the espionage, the rebellion kind of hit the, you know, the government. And I really want to see, you know, this whole thing with Bucky. I mean, he walks up to Tony and, you know, tries to shoot him in the face in the trailer.
It's a really cool looking scene.
And it looks like, I mean, you can tell, like, you know, he's like, whoa, you know, that was fat, that was close.
And obviously we haven't seen Civil War yet, but it looks like it's going to turn out pretty good. I'm super excited about the Russo brothers directing Avengers 3, because I like the Avengers films, but I think Josh Whedon's heart wasn't in it as much in the second film, and that's why Age of Ultron drags a bit. And it's nice that the third Avengers film is going to have some new life into it. I'm really excited about that.
I am going to ask y'all a question, and y'all might be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
Do you think Captain America dies in this movie?
No.
Rumors and spoiler alert, but yeah, I think they're killing Cap in this film.
I do too.
You think so?
Yes.
And you think Bucky Barnes picks up the shield?
No, I don't think they're going to go that route, because here's my personal theory. This is the last movie that we're going to see these guys until Avengers. You got to think, over the next 2 years, we're getting Doctor Strange this November, which I'm sure we'll get a Doctor Strange trailer in front of Captain America. Mm-hmm. We're getting Black Panther, the third Thor movie, and Spider-Man. And I can't remember if Captain Marvel's coming before that or not. But we're getting all these other films that have nothing to do with Iron Man and Cap. So I don't expect them to show up again until Avengers. And in some way, they'll bring Cap back to life of some sort.
That's what
I just don't think they're going to do that story. I don't think there's room for that storyline. Maybe Falcon or somebody picks up the shield very temporarily.
Maybe in one of the other movies.
But we're not going to get a whole movie with a different Captain America. It might be like a brief thing, you know, I think. It's possible. Yeah. They could go that route.
I think if they do an Avengers, they should just leave him out, bring in do another Avengers movie, and then when they finally get around to doing the freaking Infinity Gauntlet War thing, then bring him back for that.
I'd like to see them not do the same thing as the comics and not have someone take over the shield, you know. I don't have a problem if they kill him off or something like that, but don't. That's a good thing Marvel has done. They've taken some ideas from the comics, but they've done them differently enough, too, that they aren't so much the same. Because you don't want to see something you've already read. And that's actually a good lead-in to what we're going to talk about next. Because I think we said a lot about the Civil War trailer. And we're going to talk about The Walking Dead for a few minutes before we wrap up this show.
The Walking Dead.
A show that is very much based on the comic book also, and veers off from the comic at times, but yet uses the comics as a narrow, straight line where it veers off and comes back together to make the storylines different.
I think of the comic.
It's been 3 or 4 weeks since we did a show, so a lot's happened since then. The Hilltop episode 2 weeks ago was very much right from the comic books. From Rick going, what? After he kills that guy. Yeah. Such a great scene. Yeah. He's like, what? So what?
It's what we do.
The only differences in that were, instead of Maggie talking to Gregory, it's Rick goes and talks to him. But pretty much scene by scene, that episode was very much from the comic books. It's amazing how much that one was. And then this last episode, which is one I want to talk about, where they agreed with Gregory that they'll go after Negan's men for him because they want to help out this community because it benefits them. And this past episode, man, as violent as The Walking Dead is, there's some brutal stuff on this show. That episode, to me, was the most brutal. And here's why. Because morally, and yes, I know it's about survival. Someone at work will say, oh, it's all about survival. They have to do what they have to do to survive. They took Gregory and Jesus' word that Negan's men were bad, okay? And without thinking about it, they decide they're going to go kill them. And they walk into that that bunker, and they brutally murder those people.
It doesn't that just change your whole question, how many people have you killed?
Yes. It's the morals of it were just what had me as a – and I'm pretty desensitized to things we see nowadays. But I'm watching this episode, and when Glenn kills the guy, I'm just like, That's horrifying. It's horrifying in a different way than them killing zombies.
And it's one thing because to react more, kill a zombie or somebody that's attacking you. Because it's
morally wrong. And yes, if you people that have read the books, yes, Negan's people do turn out bad. But at that point, as a viewer, if you take yourself out of knowing the storyline and what the internet tells you that Negan's bad, we as a viewer, you don't really know that. What if these people were good and Rick talked to them and said, hey, we'll trade with you, Negan? You know, I think when Sasha and
them got back and they explained the whole incident with the guys on the bike, they kind of figured that they were a bad group of people.
That too. So there are different elements of it. And and it was just very brutal in that sense that they're coldly murdering these people, you know. But it is survival. They have to do what they have to do to survive. And you are caught up, right, Matt? Because you have this look on your face like you haven't caught up and watched it.
I didn't watch last
You haven't watched last week's episode?
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not really. You're not really an idiot.
I've been working all that stuff with the house. I hadn't had time, really.
It's no excuse. I know. Okay, you're in bed at 9 o'clock at night. Now I'm like,
man, I need to go home and watch that.
You're on vacation this week.
Yeah, you were even on vacation.
I was working every day.
No, you weren't. You were busy sending us pictures of
retro video
games.
When I got home. But it's like, I can't watch that stuff when Jake's up.
Well, put the kid to bed.
Put the kid to bed.
Teach him now that stuff ain't real, so he ain't afraid of the boogeyman.
Well,
and so he doesn't believe in Santa Claus and the boogeyman.
I couldn't watch it with him and Jackie home. Let me rephrase that. Because I have watched it while he's home. And he goes, are those zombies? Yes, Jake, those are zombies.
Wait. Your wife doesn't listen to this show, does she?
No, she doesn't.
Oh, good. Okay.
Thank God. We gotta make fun of her sometimes. Yeah. We don't really make fun of her. We make fun of Matt, who... It's yeah. Never mind.
The butt of the joke. But anyway,
the culo of the joke.
Sorry, we gave it all away.
That's okay. No, hey,
it's still
a
good episode. You should still watch it.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna go watch it. I want to see Rick be Rick and just hold that, you know, the revolver and be like, Carl.
Hey, but we didn't give away the ending. So
well, that's been all. Yeah, we didn't give. We won't give away the ending. But that's all that's been on TV right now with a Flash and Arrow and hiatus for another couple weeks.
Gosh. Yeah, dude.
I can't get in. I've watched Legends of Tomorrow, but I'm not as into it.
I like it, but it's not as good as the other.
I'm not as into it as they all three just got renewed. So I'll be back next year.
I mean, I do like it. It's just not as good as... I would have to put Flash, Arrow, Legends.
Oh, yeah. I love
it. I got back into watching Gotham, so I'm way behind, like, October episodes.
I'm about two or three behind on Gotham. The season's been much better of Gotham. I think, man, anything else? I can't, you know, I think we're wrapping this show up here. Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice in theater in 2 weeks. This was our Batman episode, and obviously, if you've been listening last hour or so, you know it was a Batman episode. Next episode, we're going to talk Superman and what he brings to the world of media and film and stuff. And then in a couple weeks, the big film hits, and we will discuss Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice, as the cool kids call it. Batman v. Superman.
Batman v. Superman.
But go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com for... all the latest goings on. You'll find the Rebel Radio podcast there. We got you covered. Oh, a couple of shout outs. I'd like to thank Brian over at the Bri-Fi podcast, a local guy, for picking a comic book cover for us. I also like to thank Chris at Faces and Aces Las Vegas podcast. He's picked a couple of covers for us. And make sure you hit the links that I put up when their covers they picked and visit their podcasts and their shows. Good guys we've been in touch with, and we do appreciate them helping us out, picking a couple of comic covers. And I can't think of any other shout-outs. Oh, one quick thing. This is something new we started. We're on the Houston Nerdcasting Collective Network, a local network here in Houston. We're also on the Tangent Bound PC Network, a couple of networks you can find the show on. And the Houston Nerdcast Collective is starting a new question of the week thing, where you ask a question in your podcast. So we need to take a minute to answer that. Good thing I remembered. Otherwise, Johnny might have had my head. No, Johnny wouldn't have my head. He's a cool guy.
Nobody wants your head.
And that's weird, Frank. I don't know Johnny that well.
Maybe in a fish tank.
I only know Johnny through the internet. We haven't met in person yet. So I only know him through the internet. But he started the network, and he's gracious enough to let us be on it. And the question of the week this week is... how'd you get into podcasting? Okay. And
mine's easy.
Oh, yeah?
This guy.
I got talked into it by this time.
For us, as the three of us, we kind of got into it together. Now, we did this because years ago, we were, of course, doing this as a internet radio show, which you've heard us talk about a few times if you listen to Rebel Radio. And Rebel Radio was an internet radio show that was... What's the word I'm looking for?
Basically, you created the thing because you met a lot of guys off of
the internet,
the Star Wars game that you were playing at the time,
Star Wars Galaxies, and it was.
And then they were like, "Hey, let's do a website or server or whatever it was, and we all have our own little shows and."
Right,
we do ours on this date. We do ours on that date.
And yeah, exactly. And this was 2006. We're hitting 10 years now. We've been doing classic volumes of our favorite back then. And we're going to do a 10th anniversary show after the Batman vs. Superman shows of some sort. And so we decided, me and Frank were, me and Frank were sitting around the house probably drinking some beers. Man, we should bring Rebel Radio back. Frank's like, yeah, well, podcasting is really popular right now. We should do it as a podcast. We already had TrustMeOnJedi.com set up. We're like, man, we have the platform for it. Let's do it.
And we already been used to, like, rambling on to Mike.
Right.
I mean, Mark started off doing something similar to this back before he even brought us into fold. I guess he just got tired of talking to himself, and for some reason he thought it would be a bright idea to bring us on.
And then we brought Matt in. We're like, yeah, Matt's like, yeah, let's do it again too. And that's kind of how
why did we bring Matt in?
That's kind of how we got into podcasting.
Because let's be honest, Matt was a little crazy and FUD. And
people know I do work with Comppalooza. I'm on the staff for it, and I was throwing around the idea of trying to get a Comppalooza podcast started up a couple years ago, and that's kind of how it came about. I was like, I kind of wanted to do a podcast of my own. We decided to do our own because Comppalooza is doing kind of their own thing. Of course, we're a part of a podcast partnership. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing an official podcast, Comppalooza just has a lot of us representing them, which is fine. And the other question of the week by the Houston Nerdcasting Collective was, who are your podcasting role models? And for me, it's easy. It's very much Kevin Smith and the shows he's done, because Kevin Smith was some of the first guys I ever listened to podcasts. He's how I became familiar with podcasts. And my good friend Kerry Gordon, who got me into podcasting. I work with on Comppalooza. He does the Metal Geeks podcast, of course, and he's kind of inspired me to do my show and get this going again. And that's kind of what I was telling Frank whenever we were sitting around the house. I was like, yeah, I met this guy, Kerry. He's into podcasting. He goes, yeah, you should bring back your own show. And that's kind of how we threw around the idea. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys have podcasting role models. Me, maybe?
No.
Not really.
Nah.
And the honest answer to that question is, here in Houston, for people that went to Comppalooza or they know, there's a lot of great podcasts here in Houston.
Yeah.
Justin and Miguel over the Comical Podcast.
Hilarious.
The Nerd Foo. All these guys. I think we're all role models for each other in some ways. We all support each other. There's no real competition in Houston. We all kind of support each other out. And if you haven't been to HoustonNerd.org, where the Nerdcast Collective is, go there. There's some great shows to check out. And support all those guys here in Houston.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the answer to the Houston Nerdcasting Collective question of the week. And like I say, you can find our show there, as well as our website, TrustMeOnJedi.com, and the Tangent Bound PC Network is another place to find our show. We're also on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. So we're on Google Play, because Google Play works through Stitcher.
Yeah.
I realized that. I was going to try to put the podcast on Google Play, and I'm like, well, we're already there because we're on Stitcher. So that's where you can find the Rebel Radio podcast. And
I do want to say, you brought up Comppalooza quite a few times in this. So I just want to remind people, it's June this year, June 17th through the 19th. So please do come, enjoy. It's a lot of fun.
And
bring your family, bring your friends.
We will be broadcasting live from the floor.
So we get to do it again this year.
Most likely from the floor. The show's only 3 days, so they have to. We have to apply this year, but I'm pretty sure.
Is that what that was? Okay,
I'm pretty sure we'll get in, so I don't think it'll be a problem. I know people.
I know people.
Yeah. So it's been episode 44. Is that what we're on? I don't know. 40, the Rebel Radio Podcast.
40-isle.
And
this is Matt the Electric Monkey.
Frank T. Biscuit.
This is Bruce Wayne, your host, Mark. I'm not even close to Bruce. But until next time, same bat time, same Superman channel, on the next episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it, and we hope we sounded better on this new equipment.
Well, we'll find out when it airs.
All right. Until next time, we's out of here.
Hey, Headbangers, this is Rudy Sarzo, and you're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com.
This is Walter Simons. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.